This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That. Today with some voices that are well and truly familiar with you. You thought I was going to introduce someone new. No, we still have Gordon with us.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Very quick day.
And Phil, who has got nothing left to say because Gordon basically said everything.
Thank you very much. And lurking in the background is Tristan. Hello, Tristan.
Hi, how are you?
You're learning a bit more about radio because you want to do some podcasts, yes. Don't you? Excellent. We might talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But thanks indeed to Lance on the front desk, Scotty for the morning show, and for Tim for the news.
Yeah. But did a very good show this morning, Scott did.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I made some naughty little talks with him when we were doing our preview of this show.
Oh, did you?
And, yes, I hope people will listen in because I was talking in code.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Do you think that
can't be
a good
thing.
That, was he booking a helicopter flight, perhaps?
No.
I want to do that, though, but yeah, I don't want to pay.
Oh, you don't want to pay?
Oh right. You're being provocative.
I'd better become speaker.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I only pay when I get caught.
Now, you've got a...
I have a giveaway this straight away this afternoon. This is for a member of Joy. You must be a member of Joy and you can't have won a prize in the last week. Or you can ring up and join with your Plastic Fantastic and or your Fantastic Plastic, whichever spoonerism you wish. And then we'll... then the first caller that rings up will get
and
this prize.
Julia's on the phones.
And Julia's there,
you.
Is she?
Yes.
Okay. 1-300-JOY-949. It's a CD double album. It's Simon Tedeschi with the Gershwin Collection. Be the first on the phone, 1-300-JOY-949, and speak to the jovial Julia out there, and she will take your name and details down and give you the prize.
Excellent. Now, that was a little bit of alliteration, wasn't it? That was jovial Julia.
Yes.
But before we get into that, can I just remind people that Simon Tedeschi was the hands that played the piano in Shine?
That's right.
What?
And he was a frequent guest on Spicks and Specks.
Oh, right. Yes, he was too. Yes, I remember.
He's got a bit of cred out
there. He's got some credit. Okay, yes. And I'd love to win that, but I'm not allowed to. So anyhow. But there you go. Okay.
So what's this spoonerism you referred to earlier?
Well, it's the birthday this week of...
William Archibald Spooner, born on the 22nd of July, 1844. And he was a famous Oxford don or professor whose name is given to the linguistic phenomenon of spoonerisms. And that's where the lead letters of a couple of words are swapped to make a completely different sentence, like the dear old queen comes out as the queer old dean.
Mm. Or the lord is a shoving leopard.
Oh, loving shepherd, would you believe?
Loving shepherd, yes. And... Marden me, Padam, this pie is occupied. Can I sew you another sheet? Which means, Pardon me, madam, the pew is occupied. Can I show you another seat? he could never get his word. He's a very intelligent man. He had degrees in history and philosophy and all sorts of stuff.
But I wonder if this
get
is...
His
no.
Words, head around
I
words.
I wonder if this is a manifestation of dyslexia. Because my friend who's a little bit dyslexic, he only talks about... rock lemons, not rock melons.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
there's things like that, but I don't think he could have had the degrees he had in philosophy and religion and all the rest of it if he had been dyslexic. You know, he wouldn't have been able to read.
He probably just had a faulty interface.
Well, it could have.
Well, that's right.
Because he was caught once letting the air out of a good tyre on a bike where the other tyre was flat.
Oh, was that right?
So there's just a couple of flaws in logic.
Yeah, but apparently the students at the college where he was teaching, at the university he was teaching, used to gather outside his bedroom window and scream at him to come to the window and wanted him to say something. And he would say, you only want me to say one of that.
Yes.
go back inside.
But I love it when we can play tricks with the language.
And on
Sunday mornings on your show, you have been known to play a song.
Oh, the pheasant plucker song.
I had my finger on the dumb button. That's a very naughty song,
That's a Spoonerism song, actually, because it's based on Spoonerisms, but if you get it mixed up, well, you know what it's going to come out like.
And the pheasants won't like that.
And the audience wouldn't like that, no. So when we play it, we play the straight one that the man gets it sung completely correctly.
Oh, right. Oh, there are other versions.
Oh, there are other versions, yes.
And they break up?
Oh, yes.
The choir, when they're singing it, because it's a choral piece, isn't it?
Well, no, it's just in this record we play, it's just the single man singing it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
But it's a very, very clever song, very clever lyrics. very Spoonerish.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. William Archibald Spooner.
And I bet Mr. Spooner never knew how much wood a woodchuck could chuck. Well, he would chuck all the wood he could chuck if he could, if a woodcut. I'm not going to say
how much wood
that.
Could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Lots. There, done.
Thank you.
Who's on first?
Oh no. I
not an unused, what's it's unlikely second? Pronoun of you, but the actual man's name was who? Anyway. Yeah.
But anyway.
Sorry, that was from The Simpsons where Principal Skinner blew the whole routine
now,
by
you
explaining.
Would say, you were saying something that happened on The Simpsons last night.
Last night's rerun of The Simpsons, the chalk gag, which regulars will know what that is.
Oh, that's in the intro scenes.
Yeah, where Bart's in detention writing on the chalkboard,
yes.
Or blackboard as we would call it in Australia.
Yes.
He wrote repeatedly, "I have never been there nor done that."
Well, we should let him know.
Add him as a cast member.
Exactly. Well, in your... He channels himself through you, I think, Phil.
In the nicest way.
Couldn't be any nicer.
Because when The Simpsons first came out, his character created a lot of
fuss in the public. Yeah.
None of which was founded.
Was that just because his name was an acronym of Brat?
No, he was a celebrated underachiever. And not a good role model for America's youth.
No, but he only followed his father's examples.
Homer's very clever. He just hides it well. In fact, when Lisa won a spelling competition, they thought she'd had some help from her father until the teacher spoke to him and she said, "I'm giving you 2 extra points.
Well, please stay tuned because after our next song, which is Walk to the Moon, we're going to hear about some people who did just that.
Yep.
They have been there and they have done that.
Indeed. Mm. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Indeed, you're listening to Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9 on the 20th of July.
The very
2015.
Very, important date in history, especially if you happen to be wanting to fly around the world.
Or even further. You mean jumping on an aeroplane or something?
No, going in a spaceship somewhere.
Oh, that flying around the world type of travel.
Well, not wanting to be nitpicky, but on the 20th they landed on the moon.
That's right.
It's such a long way you had to get on the spaceship a few days before the 20th.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Sorry to pop that bubble.
Oh, well, it wasn't transport or instant transport like Star Trek.
No.
Oh.
And you don't want to do that anyway. I don't want to get off topic. But every time, technically, every time they transmitted, they left a bit of their DNA behind.
Oh, right.
So eventually there'd be nothing left to transmit.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is why the doctor on Star Trek, The Next Generation, never wanted to be transported.
Right. So anyhow, on the 21st of July 1969, the CSIRO Observatory in Parkes, Australia, transmits the first pictures of the Apollo 11 moonwalk to the world.
Now, that was important because Australia was facing the moon at the time.
At the exact time.
We had moonrise. When they were due to be stepping on the moon.
Yeah, that's right.
But now, before we take any more credit, we had nothing to do with getting a man to the moon.
No.
Watch it on TV.
It was just that we had him. But they had a hell of a problem getting that picture out because they were hoping there would be no cloud cover or anything like that. But they had
the moon.
A terrible storm And it looked
a windstorm.
Yes, that's a windstorm.
Yes.
And it looked as though the whole dish was shaking, and they didn't think they'd be able to get any pictures through, but they came through, and the whole thing was presented to the world.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the Parkes Station was made into the movie The Dish, where they played cricket on it.
Yes. So if you've ever seen that. But it's a huge, as you say, dish.
Oh, yes.
And it collected lots of information from the moon. But these days, we've just had that example of the little spacecraft that went to fly around Neptune.
Pluto.
Pluto, sorry.
Yes, to the Disney character.
And just imagine how much a signal would have been coming back from outer space.
Well, Parkes picked up that as well.
That's incredible. I'm sure they've had a bit of an upgrade.
I've heard the number. I don't remember it, but the amount of signal coming from Pluto is infinitesimally small.
Yeah.
They would have had a bit more coming from the moon, but 1968, 69 technology was not exactly what we would call state-of-the-art.
Now, what were the circumstances around the drive to get on the moon? Were they running out of cheese?
No, I think they just wanted to beat the Russians.
Well, the Russians were already in space. You see, Yuri Gagarin had already flown around the world and come back down again. They'd put a dog up there in the thing and all this sort of thing. And the Russians were going very, very well.
So we were learning to leave the Earth.
And so Mr. Kennedy, President Kennedy, said, I want a man on the moon in 10 years.
Oh.
And he got one.
But what he didn't know is that the Russians didn't treat their German rocket scientists quite as well as the Americans did.
Exactly right.
And because of that, their chief scientist, who was a rocket scientist, had all the information in his head, which was fine until he died.
Yes, and they didn't.
Which, when we get to 1969, we don't have a race between America and Russia to get to the moon because Russia essentially had nothing.
They had nothing, yes.
But they didn't talk about it.
He was a very famous scientist too that had all that stuff stuck in his head.
Yeah. But he was constantly under threat of being jailed.
That's right, yeah. The Russians didn't treat him
do
very
this,
well.
Like get more power out of the rocket or you die. Let's wave a carrot.
So the rocket took the guys to the moon, and of course they had to be prepared to walk on the moon. They had to have spacesuits appropriate for that environment, and just think of the technology involved in putting it all together.
And that was another thing that made Parkes possible. Parkes weren't quite ready for it because they were going to land on the moon earlier, but it took the two of them so long to get out of the spaceship. By then, the moon had come to a position where they could photograph it properly. And because they took so long to get out of the spaceship down onto the surface of the moon, that it gave the telescope, the moon had risen further up, and so they got the right pictures. They were not going to see it.
Think about a recent weather where people would have been tucking their pants into their socks to stop any drafts. When you step out on the moon, you can't have any little holes in your suit.
Why? Is there big winds there?
It's a little bit of a vacuum.
Oh,
it's a Hoover planet. And yes, if you let your air out, your face would fill your mask basically with your eyes, and then you'd start seeing red, and then that's all you'd see.
Ooh.
And you wouldn't have to worry about breathing. Cause
what a bloody mess.
But
it was such a worldwide celebration, however, the fact that...
The Chinese believe that they never ever went there.
Oh.
Because they just reckoned it was a film done in Hollywood studios.
Are they going to be embarrassed when they get to the moon? Because they've started to think about going.
They've started to think about it.
And when they find the spaceship sitting there, they think, oh, gee, they went to a lot of work to make this thing
look real.
Well, there was a great celebration around in the world in 69, in 1970, and there was a bit of a Follies show. And Gordon, you can tell me about this. I understand that you've sung what we're going to play next.
You came in and said, and I asked you if you had a copy of this song. And you said, which copy? And so I sang it for you, and you just about fell off your chair.
I did.
Because I was the only one in the whole studio that knew it.
And I was the only, thought I was here.
And
yes,
I just add, I'm officially embarrassed by even hearing this song.
Well,
a friend and I used to do a double act to this.
Can you imagine
this? One small step for a man, one giant leap. There's an American flag on the moon tonight.
flying red and blue and white. There's an American flag waving on the moon tonight. There's an American flag, can't you see? Sitting on the Sea of Tranquility. There's an American flag waving on the moon tonight. I'm not a bit neurotic, not a bit psychotic. Oh, no, no, I'm only patriotic. Gloriowski, what a kick. I'm a luna, una, luna, una, lunatic. It's an American moon, if you please. Refer to it now as American cheese. Stars and stripes light up the Milky Way. Hey, Apollo 11 delivered our heavenly right to say. The man in the moon is a citizen of the USA. Stand up and pray. On first, who's on third?
Who has the very last word?
May the moon, what comes next?
Put your money on the New York Mets!
Well, Gordon, I think you should be embarrassed, as I am, to admit that I know that song. It was a very proud moment, though.
It was, but it seems all of a sudden Meghan Trainor's less annoying.
That was dear old Dolly Dimple. I'm not sure what ever happened to Dolly Dimple after that.
Not a lot, I suggest.
But it's her and the Lunar Ladies chorus. They were doing it in the 1920s tap routine.
Yes, a bit like a Busby Berkeley routine, wouldn't it be? But I think it came from a show, some sort of show that they were actually doing, like a cabaret show or off-Broadway thing.
And it just seems so appropriate for the level of technology that went into getting man to the moon.
To make a song like that. Yeah, well, we thought it was fun. Yeah, but a lot of people would never have heard it because I don't think it ever made the top 10.
They're probably still now wishing they hadn't heard it.
Hadn't, yes. Oh, yeah, my dear friend who used to sing that with me passed away a couple of years ago, so he's no longer with us. He's gone to the American moon, I think, yeah.
With the cheese.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Tune in each Monday at midday for Been There, Done That, hosted by Gordon, Phil and me, Chris. A light-hearted one-hour chat show highlighting gay icons, dicons and bicons, those pioneers in the gay and broader communities, events in history that still affect our lives, and useless pieces of trivia. With thanks to Living Positive Victoria. Help us to stamp out syphilis in Victoria. If you've had syphilis in the past, you can get it again. Get tested and treated at your next regular checkup. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that, halfway through our show today. And yes, that was a little bit of a rundown on what we talk about on this show.
Yes, and we're going to honour a couple of women now. It's surprising we don't get very many women on doing things on this that we can sort of actually report on this show. It's mainly,
no, well, I think
mainly men, isn't it, that are in there? But these women, these two women have done something really special.
This is the testosterone zone.
Yes.
That's what it is, no.
Oh, do you reckon?
No.
With you and me on one side of, and Phil and Tristan, I mean, hello.
Hello.
I don't think there's much testosterone between the four of us.
I was told as long as we keep taking the tablets, everything will be fine.
Born on the 21st of July 1966 is a Welsh novelist. She's best known for her novels set in Victorian society, not ours, that's Queen Victorian Society in England, and featuring lesbians.
Mostly women who are attracted to other women.
Indeed.
Yes.
And she had a couple of books. One of them was called Tipping the Velvet, and another one was called Fingersmith.
Yes.
And I think that she was rather advanced for her concepts of actually writing women's literature for women about this particular topic.
Yeah, that's true.
Self-pleasuring.
And I tell you what, I enjoyed the TV series. I have never read anything written by Sarah Waters, but I have watched the movie of Tipping the Velvet and the TV series of Tipping the Velvet. Both very well done, beautifully done, actually. And there was nothing
dirty.
There was nothing in it that you would sort of have to worry about being pornographic or anything like that. It was just so well done, just beautifully done, and beautifully written and acted, of course.
Mm, because a lot of literature that's been around prior to that was rather graphic and sometimes brutal, and it was written by a guy, and we're not all that particularly good at being sensitive.
No, no, true, true. But Sarah Waters has had a great career out of writing these sort of stories. The Paying Guest was the last one, which was last year. And I have a straight lady friend who I'll be probably having dinner with on Sunday. I think we're having a Christmas in July dinner.
Oh, yes.
Just for the hell of it. She has read everything that Sarah Waters has written. She just loves it. Susan's a very with it reader. You know, she reads all sorts of stuff. And she just likes the way Sarah Waters writes. Very, very interesting. And she has great topics, of course.
And usually in the notes that I get for these particular topics, there is an indication of the author's sexuality.
Nothing on Sarah Waters.
Nothing on Sarah Waters herself. She just lives in a top floor flat in Kensington, southeast London. Well, you know, fair enough. So do lots of people. So, in fact, perhaps what she's saying is that a lot of this is just a regular behind-the-scenes stuff and we all know about it and, well, why get too fussed about it?
I think it's good for women to have those sort of books to read for themselves as well.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's enlightening and empowering.
Well, empowering, you know, that the people, young girls would read them and sort of say, well, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one, you know.
Mm.
And this is the way it is. They're great writing. It's great writing. But then again, after Sarah Waters, you have another lady who was very, very out there.
Oh, she was a little bit forward.
She was a little bit more out there than Sarah Waters.
And we're talking about Annie Sprinkle.
Annie Sprinkle.
Speaking of Waters.
No. Born on July the 23rd, 1954. She's an American sex educator, pardon the expression, former prostitute, feminist stripper, pornographic actress, and porn magazine editor. Mm. So she's had hands-on, if you'll pardon the expression, experience.
She's had lots of experience.
Of sexual expression. And she was notorious for some of her full frontal displays.
Why did they have to say that she was notorious? She was just being herself and doing what she wanted to do.
Yes, but I think she was doing it from the titillation point of view. She was there for the shock value.
Well, she was educating as well, which is the main thing, which is what she was actually doing. She's an educationist.
She got her notoriety from exposing what couldn't be exposed.
Yes, yeah. And talking about stuff that was never talked about, of course.
And being born in 1954, she would have been during the feminist...
Be in the 70s.
Yes, yeah. And this was part of the liberation as well, because there's all sorts of things happening at that time. So I'm told.
I suspect she had a sense of humour too. One of her best-known pieces is called her public service and cervix announcement.
Oh, right. Okay, then. No, I appreciate that. But she was notorious, and she said she had a doctorate in human sexuality, but it's one of those $2 universities. You get a certificate over the internet
I'm sure she passed the exam more than once.
Well, that's it. And of course, we've seen rather a fair few advances in TV and mainly film about the way people can express their sexuality the physical sexual form.
Watch ABC 2.
Or
SBS. Had a message here from our lovely Nina. Welcome back, Nina. We missed you last week. Well, of course, our emails were down last week, but they're up this afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm really enjoying today's show. I do have a question regarding the spaceship that was used to go to the moon. Is it true that there was a tender to build that actual spacecraft that carried the men to the moon? Love to you all, Nina. With kisses. Thank you, Nina.
Well,
the whole business was done by tender.
I would say by
tender. NASA would basically design, and then you'd have Hughes Aircraft and Boeing and all those people come in and say, we can do that.
But it certainly wasn't to the lowest tenderer.
They would have
we'd never know.
You'd never know, but they would have had to have had certain standards. They had the right materials that they would have had to use. They wouldn't have been able to use any old bits and pieces.
Well, see, the tendering process came into question with the space shuttle and the O-rings that failed.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that went to the lowest bidder.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And didn't survive the rather frosty Florida mornings. But yeah, the Saturn V, I've actually stood next to one lying on its side. And mammoth is an understatement.
Oh.
The actual outlet on the engine, of which there were five mounted on the bottom, is probably 10 or 12 feet. So mm-hmm. you stand next to this thing and you feel very small.
Yeah. Now, and you've got to remember as well that these particular metal objects are a certain dimension when they're on Earth, mm-hmm. sitting in 25 degrees Celsius.
And gravity.
And gravity. But by the time they leave the Earth, they're in a very, very cold environment and they don't have gravity. So things shift and move and stretch and need to be...
And leak.
Leak. Indeed.
But they had some good experience from the 1950s and 60s jet pilot scheme, I guess it would be called. The X-1 plane on ground used to leak fuel.
Yeah.
Did it really?
Because it was designed to fly
above
virtually in space.
Yeah.
And it would expand and the seals would seal.
Yep.
So on the ground...
With the heat, they would contract, basically. I would have thought it would have been the opposite way around.
No, because it generates a lot of heat at 3,000 miles an hour.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, there we go. So thank you, Nina. Thank you for listening.
Indeed.
Your message.
And as I said, we're hopeful that, in fact, TV and movies are actually liberating us all so that we can feel a little bit better. And Kavanagh's here. I can make you feel good. So,
can you? Okay.
Right. Okay. Let's go. You're on Joy. 94.9. Been there, done that. Phil, Chris and Gordon.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil, Chris. No, let's change that around. You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon on Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9.
Which one am I?
Oh.
I'm used to being at the other end of the list.
we've put you up front and personal.
Thank you.
And as we said at the intro, we've got Tristan sitting in with us because he's sat in with you, Gordon, on a couple of times in your show. For many years. And he's with us now. And you've got some good news happening, Tristan. What's happening?
I'm going to be doing my own podcast radio show.
All right.
What does that entail?
For people with disabilities.
Oh, good. That's the way to go. Because there are a lot of people out there that have them, don't they?
Yep.
And they can... it's nice to get them onto air and hear their stories about how they cope with the way things are going.
And I did my practice with the other Chris Jameson last Thursday in...
Drive.
Yep.
Excellent. And then people will be able to hear you on our podcast list on the Joy webpage. That's terrific. When do you think they might be posted up first?
I'm not too sure. I have to talk with Jason, see what happens after that.
Yeah, that's very good then. Excellent. We look forward to how it's rolling out. That's good because sometimes having to do things in a rushed way is not the best way of doing things. And podcasts allow us to actually record a show and then edit them and then put them up in a nice fashion. That's terrific. Tristan, thanks very much. And I hope we're not teaching you too many bad habits.
No, you're not.
Good.
All you got to do is laugh.
Now, let's see, gentlemen, what else have we got today in our show?
There's a few people having birthdays today, which we haven't mentioned. One of them is a favourite of mine, a great singer as far as I'm concerned, is Rufus Wainwright, the Canadian singer. He actually says Canadian-American. I think his father was American and his mother was Kate McGarrigle, the Canadian, one of the sisters, Kate and Anna McGarrigle. He has, I think, dual citizenship with America and Canada, and he lives most of his life in New York.
Well, Canada is America's version of New Zealand. So if you're talented, you can come from New Zealand to Australia, we'll call you Australian.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're good in Canada and you go below the border, they'll accept you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Unless you're Justin Bieber.
Yes, no one accepts.
You've got a mixed result.
Fair enough. And another singer, guitarist sort of person, having a birthday on the 21st of July, it was Long John Baldry.
Yeah,
he died on this day on 21/7/2005, born in 1941.
He was a very open out gay singer back in the 60s when it wasn't a very good thing to be gay. He was about 6'7" tall or nearly 2 meters tall in height. That's why they called him Long John Baldry. And he sang ballads and country-type music and everything. And I play him a lot. I've got just about every song he's ever recorded.
He had a very deep voice.
Yeah, had a lovely deep voice. Yeah. And of course, Elton John gets his name John from Long John Baldry because Long John Baldry gave him his start. He actually gave Elton John his start.
Wow.
And he also gave a few other, I can't remember their names, a few other very well-known people.
Did he sort of mentor them through their sexuality?
Rod Stewart was another one. Long John Baldry put Rod Stewart on the way. He heard him singing in a railway station or something or other.
Yeah.
He was busking, and Long John Baldry came off the station, heard him busking, and said, come with me, and took him into the recording studio and made him part of his backing group. Rod Stewart. So now you know where Rod Stewart is.
You get in trouble for that these days. You pick up boys at the station, come and see my studio.
Sure.
Yeah, and,
On the 23rd of July, 1936, was born on a Melbourne icon by the name of Jan Hillier.
And Pokies fame.
Well, yes, Pokies. It's not the betting machines. I now have to add, for a lot of the young people who weren't around to know that the Prince of Wales Hotel in St Kilda and Fitzroy Street became the venue for a series of follies, tits and feathers, dancing, miming shows.
Starring Doug Lucas.
Doug Lucas and lots of other talented people.
Oh, yeah, lots of other talented people. We have another message there, which I would like to reply to, from Kim and Joanne. They've asked us if we could play a couple of songs. We are only here for an hour, Kim and Joanne, so we really can't do any
request
songs.
But we'll see what we can do for next time. Yeah. But you might have to wait a few weeks.
You just have
to come back next week and listen and see if it's there.
That's right.
Jan Hillier was actually quite brilliant in bringing together the gay community during tough times here in Victoria. Mm. We were starting to get our liberation and the university was starting to allow these sort of topics happen. Yeah. And it was public acceptance was starting to
loosen.
And Pokies had our Jan Hillier gave us our safe zone at the Prince of Wales Hotel where we could just be ourselves
and be entertained and everything.
And that little song that we heard before about the Americans flag. That was sort of in the 1920s styles with tap dancing, as I mentioned, but a lot of the shows that Pokies put on were lifted out of the musicals of the movies of those days, and Barbara Streisand and Diana Ross and a few of those names of those eras were always good game.
But there's also Danny LaRue, of course.
Oh, yes,
he was born on this day, I think, wasn't he?
The
26th of July,
1927. But he was an Irish female impersonator.
He wasn't a drag queen.
No.
He wasn't a drag queen. He was like Barry Humphries with Dame Edna. He was a female impersonator and performer. He came out to Melbourne here, about 20 years ago, I suppose, with a show at, I can't remember whether it was Her Majesty or the Princess Theatre. And killed him. Well,
that's illegal in most states.
It was so good.
Yes, it's just that word literally gets in the way.
That's right. And did Danny have a sharp tongue?
He was pretty. He did a very good impersonation of Maggie Thatcher. I remember he had the wig and he had everything. He was pretty good at it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but he was an icon in the British theatre and world of stage and stars and screen and everything.
And just for our younger listeners, Barry Humphries and Dame Edna are two separate people. Don't blow the illusion.
Because Dame Edna's retired now.
Yes.
Well from her big stage shows. I hope she goes on forever.
No, well, apparently she's been retired, but Barry is still working.
Yeah, what a hack.
Yeah, but the reputation will live on much longer than the person, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, while we were talking about technology and getting to the moon and everything, it wasn't all that long ago that the world was a much larger place.
We were isolated.
Distances were much longer. Yeah. Technology didn't cover the distances.
Yeah, you were isolated. Like there was Melbourne here and Adelaide over there and Sydney up there and Brisbane a bit further, but the communication was usually by ship. And that was about,
or trains.
The trains did come in. They would have been in trains. But it was slower, and they couldn't get messages across.
If you grew up in Adelaide, you would probably treat Melbourne as the biggest adventure on earth.
You did.
Still do.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity not to say that.
I did. But imagine if your conversation, like you sit down now and you send a text.
Mm.
You used to send a text by form of a letter.
That's right.
And it would go probably on the train or some other form of transport,
and then get to Adelaide.
Somebody would have to wait for it to be delivered, and they'd read the letter. It's actually the same process that's done now, but the letter is the electronic message.
That's right.
And the envelope is the TCP/IP signals being sent across the internet.
Yeah, wow.
So the concept is the same, just the speed of delivery is somewhat improved.
Mm. Yeah, because it was this week that they opened a telegraph wire from Melbourne to Adelaide.
Yes.
That was in 1901.
Last century was
known for its developments, though, because we've gone from inventing the aeroplane to landing on the moon.
Yeah.
That was quite a step.
We had a telegraph line from Sydney to Melbourne in July the 26th in 1858. Yeah.
But, gentlemen.
What's happened?
The time has come, the war has said.
To speak of many things, of shoes and ships, of sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and why the fish have wings.
And it was just earlier today I mentioned how much rubbish is in our heads. And it's stored permanently. We can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of the bloody stuff. No, you're right.
Oh, you need to be able to defrag and wipe your memory clean.
No, I don't want to wipe my memory because I do crossword puzzles and I need every bit I can get.
No. We need those. We need those for those moments when we need to give ourselves pleasure.
And it's the same as with music.
Yeah.
You know, what you learn when you're young, you remember for the rest of your life.
You should have an option, though, to get songs you don't like out of your head.
Like American Flag on the Moon Tonight.
Well, that's my latest entry, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we inflicted that upon you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we didn't get any complaints.
I think it was fun.
Well, no complaints from outside the studio.
No. Yeah. What are you doing over there, Chris?
I'm looking for a small little something that we can just fill in for
the veg of the ice cream cone.
Oh, there you go, yes. In 1904, apparently, the ice cream sundae? No,
they used to serve ice cream in a bowl. And
And
this bloke was at the World's Fair and he saw a fella making waffles.
The Dutch waffle.
Which he put honey or something on, or syrup. And he decided that he ran out of dishes, so he thought, well, what can I do? And he got one of the waffles, he twisted it into a cone, put two scoops of ice cream in it, and that was the invention of the ice cream cone.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. Mm. Yes, because those waffle things are usually available in Europe in addition to those sort of crunchy things that we get here, the cones. Yeah.
The waffles they have over there are much finer, and he could turn it over and to make it into a cone.
Oh, yes. Lovely. So don't mind a bit
Speaking of waffling...
Oh, all right then. Right,
we've
got
to stop waffling and let you get on with your work over there.
Thanks very much for being with us today. We've enjoyed your company. Thanks for your texts and emails and rude messages.
We'll be back next week.
Yes. Whether you like it or
whether
not.
Whether you like it or not, yes.
Try stopping us.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.